I believe everyone who needs to be here will be here tonight by one way or the other. But we are starting these 3 days off thanking God. Our guest minister has been here twice before, and each time we have seen the tangibility of the power of God in our midst. Amen. I remember on this same podium, two short legs grew out right before our very eyes. Hallelujah. We are testimonies of healings, and this is what this weekend is all about. And I want to enjoin us and challenge us. We made the flyers we have sent out. We gave it to us as a church to invite people. We shouldn't be selfish this weekend. And brethren, our church members here, you don't know. Nobody knows their day of visitation. You never know. It might be the day you decided, well, I'm not going to church. That might just be your day of visitation. May you not miss your day of visitation. Brother Delevered is a seasoned evangelist. He has pastored before. He's a teacher of the word. He organizes crusades in Africa. He just came back from Tanzania and Kenya, right? Praise God. He was sharing some testimonies with Pastor Philip and I in the car. Was amazing. 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 I'm praying that you will not miss your turn tonight. It gives me great pleasure also to welcome Pastor Philip Ajayi, his wife Ruth Ajayi. Pastor Ruth Ajayi, can you stand up? Praise the Lord. And there are three wonderful children. They are all the way. Can the children also stand up? All the way from the United Kingdom to spend the weekend with us. You are welcome. They are my faithful children in the Lord, in whom I'm well pleased. Praise God. Please be seated. Glory to God. They'll get to greet the church at some stage before this weekend is over. But I want you to be expectant tonight, as I'm going to turn it over to Brother Dale and let God pass through him what he has packaged for you and I tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. Can we, with a standing ovation, welcome Brother Delevered, Wisdom Assembly, welcome. Let's give him a Wisdom Assembly welcome. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on.
Yeah, Wisdom Assembly, you are welcome. Wisdom Assembly, you are welcome. Wisdom Assembly, you are welcome. Wisdom Assembly, you are welcome.
I will come join you. Good evening, everyone. It's nice to be back and to see so many new faces and yet so many familiar ones also, of people that I've come to know and love. You may be seated. Thank you. My brother that has led us in worship tonight, what a wonderful sense of the presence of God and the anointing. Even as I was just setting up the teaching materials that we have out in the just before you go off the door, and so I was not in this room as I was listening to you worship, but do you understand that the presence of the Most High God cannot be contained by walls? And so I will tell you from my heart, I could sense his glory. I could see, I could hear genuine praise that always brings the authority of God into a setting. Because our God inhabits, hello? He inhabits the praises Of his people. And do you know that Hebrew word inhabits means that his kingdom rule, or he is enthroned in the praises of his people. Let me say it again. He is enthroned. That is, it is his rule, his power, his authority, his dominion is established where he is praised. So quit whining. Come on. Quit complaining. Quit murmuring, because that just invites the devil to come into your setting. But when you praise the King of Glory, come on, the enemy flees and the greatness of our God comes and is revealed in that very way. Praise God. Amen. So, Pastor, thank you again for bringing me back into the greater Kansas City area. I always love to be with him and his wonderful wife, and I'm so pleased to meet my brother from the UK as well. I have great anticipation of Jesus tonight. Do you? Great anticipation of his power in this room. Now, when I've been here in the past, so many of you have been so gracious to us in your giving to help us do what we do across this nation, but also around the world. And that's the reason why I asked the brother to show some of the recent photos of the Crusades that we have just done in the last calendar year. In fact, the bulk of what you are looking at has happened this very month. As Pastor mentioned, that we have been in Africa and Tanga, Tanzania, which is a coastal city, and then also in Mombasa, Kenya, which many of you might know is also a coastal city, an area where Islam has been a stronghold for 1,300 years. But I'm going to tell you that in every night of the crusade, God worked miracles across that crowd. And the Islamics were standing in line to tell people what Jesus had done for them while we were preaching the word of the Lord. It's true. In fact, in Tanga, where they tell me the city is 90% Islamic, there was a lady that got healed earlier in the crusade. And we asked those who get miracles to just come forward and talk to our team members that are in the front that will receive them and hear what God has done. And then if they can validate the miracle, then they may bring them up on the stage where we all can see for the glory of the Lord what the Master has done through the power of his word. His word brings healing to people, you see. And so what happened is that there were more people to testify than we could hear each evening. So we would say to those that we could not take the time with because it had gotten so late and so dark, we'd say, come back tomorrow, we'll move you to the head of the line and let you tell. And such was one woman, and she gave her testimony in the final service where 7,000 people were present. And I remember she shared what she had received, and of course she's speaking in Swahili. And so I don't know too much Swahili, you know. So I'm watching my interpreter to see his face, to see all is well. And she shared her miracle, how she had come full of arthritis, rheumatoidal arthritis from head to foot, in such pain and suffering. And as she stood out there, God healed her by his great power in Christ Jesus. And then she went to step off the stage, but as she turned to leave, she had a second thought. She turned back, and she grabbed the microphone real firm. Well, preacher, how many do you know that when you're in a crusade like that, you don't give the microphone away, you know? But she grabbed it very forcibly like that, so both of us are holding on to it. And now she's speaking very rapidly in Swahili, and I'm watching my interpreter to see the attitude look on his face to see if this is good, and he's looking at her very sober. And when she finishes, the entire crowd erupts with joy, and he simply whispers in my ear, and all he says was, "She was Islam." And so I knew right then was a moment to give the altar call. And I'm trying to hold her to stay on the stage, but she's pulling to get off. You understand why? Because she's an open target right now. And so anyhow, hundreds of people came to receive Christ as Lord. And when we got into the car to go back to the hotel, my interpreter said to me, he said, "Now let me tell you all of what she said." She said to the folks, She said, I'm Islamic, and all of us Muslims have been sitting in our homes. We listen to this gospel being preached, and we've been saying to each other, this is nothing but a lie. And all those miracles is nothing more than that white man has hired these people to come up on the stage and say they got healed, but no one has gotten any kind of a miracle in this meeting. She said, that's what we've been saying in our homes. So I came out the other night and stood in this crowd just to see for myself what's going on. And she says, and this Jesus, who I did not know and who I did not believe in, came upon me and healed me of my rheumatoid arthritis. And she said then in conclusion, she says, I want to say clearly, this is not a lie. It is very real. And I reject Islam, and Jesus is now my God. And whoa, come on, can I tell you that Jesus is alive? He's alive, and he's right here. He's present in this house tonight. He's not just great somewhere else. He's great right here. Do you believe that? But anyhow, I share that with you, and you see some of the pictures that you might know that the investment that you've made by faith in the past, the seed that you've sown, is bringing forth great harvest. You know, sometimes we sow seed and we do it in faith. Hello? We do it in faith, but sometimes we don't see or even hear what the result of that may be. And so I share with you at least in part some of that which God has done, and has done that just within this very month, because I was there for the first 18 days of the month. In fact, if I look a little wore out, I'm just getting past the jet lag. But today, they brought me pepper soup and jollof rice. And I feel a new strength in me right now. And it was just right. It was enough to make you sweat, but not make you cry. You know, it's just perfect when you need two napkins, one for your mouth and one for your nose. When it's right there, then, hallelujah, they got it just right. Praise God. Oh, bless the Lord. Don't you love the King? Oh, I really do. I'm looking to the book of Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read two verses from this chapter, verses 20 and verse 21. And tonight, and very possibly even tomorrow night, I want to talk about this subject. I want to talk to you about recognizing. Someone say recognizing. Recognizing the power in God's words. Now we have three services together. This evening, tomorrow evening, and then Sunday morning. Now, Sunday morning I want to do so. Tonight we're going to believe God for answers to prayer and miracles of every kind, and tomorrow night as well. Sunday morning I want to do something similar, I believe, to what I probably did the last time I was with you, and that is that I want to have an anointing with oil service. But let me tell you the direction of that service. When I was with you last time, I had received great instruction of the Lord, and I had been doing this for about maybe 4 or 5 years, to anoint people for the purpose of generational blessing. Did you all hear that word? Now, I'm not talking about generational curses. I'm talking about the blessing, because the blessing's greater than the curse. Come on, the blessing's greater than the curse. But and what I'll do Sunday morning, if the Lord will tarry, if he doesn't, I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm out of here. Pastor's out of here. Anyone that doesn't go, the CDs will be free. All right. If he doesn't come, you got to pay for them, though. Okay. Not very long ago, just, what, a month or so ago, we had a very, I'm going to use the word disturbing decision by the Supreme Court of our nation as they put a approval upon perversion and extending marriage beyond that which is holy. Now, I was flying to a crusade here in the U.S. when that information had been released. And as I was meditating on the plane, you do know that God is always greater than the works of the devil. While I was meditating on the plane, I remembered that when I worked with a great man of God by the name of R.W. Shambach, when he was yet alive, he would, in some of his great services, lay hands on the children, and he would pray over them a ninefold blessing. And it covered all kinds of things that he would pray over the children, that disease would not be found in their life, that addictions would not be found in them, that they would be free from danger and tragedy and so on. But the thing that caught my attention that I remembered, even though his passing has been, what, about 4 years now, was that he prayed that no perversion would come into our children. Are you hearing this? And I remembered that. In fact, some of you might know that, or would remember that I, Pastor mentioned, I evangelized for 20-some years, and then I pastored for 15 years, two existing churches, and then Brother Shambach, does anyone know who I'm even talking about? He asked me to come and plant a church on his property. He was one of the great evangelists of our day. And so I did that, And I pastored that for about 4 years, which was the goal, and to build it up and turn it to the family. And now I do international work. But even after I finished the pastorate, I would come back until his death, which was 4 years after I turned the church back. I would come back three times a year to do the to do the camp meetings with him. I did all of the camp meetings with him. I would teach in the daytime and then also preach some of the night services. And so my wife and I was sitting on the very front row of this camp meeting several years ago, and he was sitting to the side. And I remembered him talking about that blessing he would pray over our children. And so I got up from my seat and I sat down next to him. Now he is about 85 years of age. And I said to him, Brother Shambach, tell me what were those nine things that you prayed over the children. And I had my iPad ready. And he started, 1, 2, 3, 4, he got down to about 5 or 6 of them. And then, you know, 85 years of age, sometimes things go for a little trip for a while. He didn't have any notes in front of him. He wasn't there to even speak that night. There were others that were preaching. So he looked at me and he smiled and he said, go back and sit with your wife for a few more minutes and it'll come to me and I'll call you back over. So about 10 minutes later, he motions to me like this and I came back and he said, and he went over the rest of those items. He says, this is what God gave me to pray over the children. And while I was on that airplane and reflecting on the decision that the Supreme Court had made, I felt the prompt of the Holy Spirit to tell me, tell the church they should not despair. Come on, do not despair. Because we have a God who covers us and our children. And the generations to come. And so Sunday morning, what I want to do is I want to preach to you about the blood that covers, the sacrifice that covers in your life. And then when we're through, I want to anoint not just children, I want to anoint everybody in this room with oil. That the covering of the protection power of God, the purifying work of God, the sustaining work of his sanctifying anointing will keep us in this evil time from the evil that is in this world. Are you interested in that? Yes, Sunday morning, that's what we'll be doing in Jesus' name. Now, we're talking about recognizing. Help me preach it now. Say recognizing. Recognizing the power in God's words. I'm not just talking about the power in the word. I'm talking about being able to see it, to connect with it. Folks, what is not revealed unto you, you cannot function in. What you cannot see, you cannot walk in. Insight always precedes entrance. First there comes the light, and then you can walk in the light. If you don't see it, you'll never ascertain it. You'll never lay hold on it. I'm talking about recognizing. No, recognizing. Yeah, but say recognizing. That's what we're talking about. Recognizing. The power, in God's words. See, there is power in the word. But if you don't recognize it, you'll never lean on it. If you don't recognize it, you'll never draw on it. If you don't recognize it, you'll never believe it. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21 takes us into the moment of Abraham, as he has received a promise from the Most High. The man's received a promise that he will have a child. He'll have a son. He's had no son with his wife. He's now about 100 years old. And she's in her 90s. How many of you understand at that point most people quit? But the promise has been delivered to him. Now, let me tell you about the power in this word of God. That power never, are you listening? It never fades. It doesn't fade like flesh. It doesn't fade like the strength of men. Come on. It doesn't fade like the grass that withers and the flower that falls away. The word of the Lord endures, come on, forever. It does. And we must recognize that, or we will think that when the day gets late, our opportunities are going away. That's not true. This word never fails. This word never fades. This word never weakens. It's not strong one day, but not quite so strong the next. I'm going to tell you, he's the Almighty God. I know the word says, and we sing it and we say it, he's the mighty God. But I like it myself better when we find out he's the Almighty God. Because that's who he is. No one else is like, there are some mighty men, but there are no almighty men. So now here he is, he's pushing 100. And there hasn't been any Isaac yet. A lot of people's faith has already gone out the door. They'd say, well, I don't know what happened. We believe, but I guess it's not going to be in our time. But that wasn't the case with the man. In fact, you'll see in the scripture we'll read that he's actually, good God, how could it be? I don't know, but he was. He was actually stronger in his faith. After 100 years of no seen promise, he was actually stronger in his faith. It's no wonder why God calls him the father of faith. We need to learn something from this man. So the writer says this, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. I'm telling you, that was a miracle right there. Come on. That's a miracle right there. See, he's gotten this promise. You all know, you've read the story much earlier in life. And yet nothing happened in his 40s and nothing happened in his 50s. And there is no Isaac in his 60s. In his 70s, it's not happening. In the 80s, my Lord, it's 90s. And he still hasn't seen a boy born. And look at his wife. She's creeping up. She's never been able to conceive. And she's in her 90s. Good night. The word of God says, and here he is, he staggers not. Some people have a hard time believing God till the morning. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Now, I want you to keep in mind what I'm reading to you is not the opinion of a man. It is the word of the Almighty God. You see, I meet people all the time. They have opinions about their faith. They tell me how big their faith is, how great their faith is, this and that, you know, and then they can't trust God for a full day. I had a young man tell me one time in Buffalo, New York, he said, I've got all the faith in the world. If I don't get healed, it's not my fault. I'm thinking, I'm not sure whether you got as much faith as you think you've got. And here's what I know about God. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, let me explain something about him. Nobody can appraise faith like he can. Did you get that? Last year, I was in Mount Kilimanjaro, Tanzania. And if you know something about that area of Africa, you know that there is a 4-square-mile radius outside of the mountain where they have discovered a gemstone called tanzanite. And it's not found anywhere else in the world. At least they haven't found it yet. They haven't found it anywhere else in the world. It's only in that area. So while I was there, someone presented to me a very nice stone for what I was told to be an excellent price that would make a nice gift for my wife for Christmas. How many men in this room understand that when you spend 300 days out of the year in hotel rooms traveling, you better have a good Christmas present for your wife? Now, listen, if that man doesn't say amen, then that woman sitting next to him needs to elbow him real hard right now. So anyhow, the gentleman brings what looks like a wonderful stone, and for what everybody tells me is a below wholesale price. And I said, well, this is very nice, but I said, you must understand something. I don't really know what I'm looking at. I am not a gem dealer. I really don't know if I'm looking at a piece of glass. Hello? Or whether I'm actually looking at a gemstone. And if I'm looking at a gemstone, I still don't know whether it is the quality that you tell me it is. So there happened to be a brother from the church who worked in the airport and was a gem dealer. And I said to the man, this is what we're going to do. We are going to take the gemstone to him. He doesn't know you, but he knows stones. And he's going to look at that stone, and when he's through, he's going to tell me what that stone is worth, because I don't have the ability to appraise this stone, but he does. Are you understanding where I'm going right now? Now, I'm going to tell you that of this man, Abraham, he's almost 100 years old and has not seen with his eyes or handled with his hands the promise that has been given to him. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that must have said to him, just like people that'll speak to you in the church this way, when you say God's given you a promise and it doesn't show up this week, and it doesn't show up next week, and it doesn't show up next year, and it doesn't show up for a decade, and there's always some that'll come and say, well, honey, if you had enough faith, you would have gotten your miracle. Hello. Does that only happen in Texas where I came from, or does that happen up here too? And here you go, but the word of God, and I am talking about the person, not a book now. The word of God testifies of this man's faith. And it says this, that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Come on. He was strong in faith, excuse me, before or after the birth of Isaac. Well, both, actually, all right. But the statement is made, prior to seeing the miracle. He was, and the Spirit of the Lord says, he was strong in faith. My, may he who is the author and finisher of our faith be the divine appraiser of the faith within our life. And may he be able to say of us that we have strong faith. Strong faith. Now listen, you need to believe what he says about your faith, not what the devil says about your faith. You need to believe what he says about your faith, not what your circumstances say about your faith. Because the circumstances of Abraham's life would have said to him, your faith is not working. The circumstances around him would have said, your faith isn't pulling it off. It's not enough, you see. But he's walking in a faith that causes him not to stumble or withdraw at the promise of God through unbelief. And the word of God says he was strong in faith. Now watch the divine connection. It says giving glory to God. He was strong in faith. Now he's not changing the subject. He's still in the same neighborhood. He says giving glory to God. Here's what I've found about people of faith. They have no time to complain because they're too busy praising. Did you hear that? It's not that they don't have anything they could complain about, but they've found so many things to give praise for that they've made a decision. I can either be a complainer or I can be a praiser. And I'll tell you, I think I will live in the place of praise. And the Bible says that's directly connected to the flow of faith within someone's life. Now, you need to hear what I'm saying, my friend. If you're going through a long-term problem right now, a challenge to the faith you have, don't you let the challenge tell you what your faith is, because the challenge cannot measure your faith, neither can it appraise your faith. Only the author of faith can do just that. Live in the place of divine praise, and your faith will not fail. Come on, live in the place of praise and your faith will not fail. One of the things that the Spirit of God has been dealing with me about or teaching me for a great number of years is how to take whatever my problem is, and instead of just talking about that before God, and it's not that it's inappropriate to make a request of him, but instead of just carrying on and on and on and on about the problem before him, what you do is you come and you stand right in the midst of your problem and declare who he is. Did you hear this? You stand in the midst of your problem and you worship him for who he is. You don't just tell him what he's promised and ask him to do it. And there's nothing inappropriate with that. But there's another side of this with power. You know, a few moments ago when I first stepped up before you, I quoted a scripture to you. Now, here's some scriptures that you're very well aware of. You're aware of this one that says that you enter his gates with... Come on, that's it. You enter his gates with thanksgiving and you enter his courts with praise. All right. Now let's talk about that for a minute. What is the writer addressing? Is it okay if I teach tonight? Is it all right if I teach tonight? All right, you watch this. You enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. He's communicating two primary thoughts here. The first one he's addressing demeanor. That is the attitude and the way that you approach the king. You don't come before the king like this. You know from even studying history or even just biblical history that those who attended the king was to come into the king's presence with great joy. They didn't bring their troubles before the king. They didn't dump their depression out on the king, all right? Such attitudes would get you out of the king's court, not into the king's court, you see. And the Bible tells us this is how you approach our king. You come into his gates, come on, with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, all right? So while that is fundamentally true in the thought of the writer, in context of which it is said, he's also showing us something else here. And that is, this is the key that gets you into the presence of the Almighty God. You enter. How do you enter? Well, you don't enter with murmuring. You don't enter with complaining. And let me tell you what else you don't enter with. You don't enter with cockiness and pride. Did you all understand my New York English when I said that? You don't come into his presence strutting and telling God all about you and what a hot shot you are and all that you've done. Yet that you will not get into the presence of God that way. How do you get in? The key that causes the presence of the Most High to open up unto us are these things, and that is praise and thanksgiving. When you come with a thankful heart and when you come with a praise on your lips and in your spirit, it opens you up to the glorious presence of this majestic God. I'm telling you, many times the reason why that I refrain from murmuring and complaining and griping about the situation that I'm dealing with is because I know that's going to shut me down to the glory of the Lord. And if I want to enter his place, do you understand where miracles are? Do you understand where the supply is? The Bible says that my God shall meet all your need according to his riches. Now, where are his riches? Huh? In glory. Understand this, the riches whereby every need will be supplied is not in your bank account. It is not in the U.S. Fort Knox. Come on, it's not in the Queen's jewels. You got to understand the riches are in, hello, they're in the realm of the glory. Are you getting that? By Christ Jesus. So guys, if you're going to get to the place where the riches are, you got to get in the glory. And you don't get in the glory by complaining, by worrying, by being fearful, by being prideful. You get into the glory through praise. Am I preaching truth to you? You enter his gates. Look, if you're ever going to get out of this mess, you got to get into his presence. You enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So one of the things that God's been teaching me to do is not to bellyache about my problem, not to carry on about my problem, not to, because if you listen to most people's prayer, their prayer is 99% describing the problem and then at the very end say, oh God, help us. In Jesus' name. But the bulk of everything they've said is about the problem. They've enlarged on the problem. They've magnified the problem. They've explained the problem. They've given the doctor's terminology for the problem. Well, whatever it is, they've just gone on and on about. And then they told God that that's the way the problem is right now. But if you don't do something today, by tomorrow, then they tell him what it's going to be like tomorrow. And if they don't see any results, then they're sure that the reason why is they didn't explain the problem well enough. So the next time they pray, they even go at it longer. Why are we spending so much time zeroing in on the problem when we should be zeroing in on the answer? That's a capital A. I'm talking about a person. Abraham, something happened in this guy. He's got a promise, but it doesn't look like it's working. He's gone through decades of no visible results. And now he's at a time in life in which you can forget it. It's not happening. Good night, 99 years old. And he's gotten, his wife is in her 90s. Is she thinking about having the strength to go through the trimesters of pregnancy? Come on, ladies. You know what I'm talking about more than I know what I'm talking about. I mean, my wife gave birth to two children. We have a son and a daughter, and I just observed. She went through it. I just observed. I saw what happened to her blood pressure. I saw what happened to her feet. And where did her ankles go during that time? I don't know. But they were not visible anymore. You know, do you all know what I'm saying? Things stretched out like crazy. I mean, to tell you what, you know, and that's the reason why that when ladies get pregnant, they generally do it in their 20s or maybe 30s. And God help some of you that are really strong and put it out when you're 40. But when you're 90? I don't think so. At 90 years of age, you're saving all your strength just to get out of a chair. You're not even thinking about... Are you all right in this room? How do you get to that place where that kind of faith is working in you? I'm talking about recognizing the power in God's word. Now, the text shows us how Abram got it, but let me tell you, since we're on this route already, how Sarah got it. Both of them already had the word, but nothing was happening yet. Until they recognized the power in this word. Had it happened earlier in life, they would have thought it was simply the power of flesh. So God brings them to a place, you need to hear what I'm saying, he brings them to a place where the only way it could happen would be by the power of God. If you think you're in a place right now where your miracle doesn't have much of a chance, you don't understand what his power is like. Because God, he seems to take great delight in bringing you to the place of the impossible to show you there is nothing impossible with him.